is the latest episode of Space Plane on CKUT 90.3 FM Red Dot, isn't it? Until 2 a.m.
Jason Shurka.
So the reason why I'm bringing that up is because part of Operation Water has to do with them coming at night to avoid being seen.
What's he talking about?
Being seen because there are certain things that they don't want to bring attention to because it can cause problems at this point instead of benefits.
What's he talking about? That is Jason Shurka, and he's talking about a group of extraterrestrials that he is in contact with from planet Sia. And they come here for our water, and they have been coming to the earth for a very long time, and it's all coming out now.
So some of the things that I spoke about in Operation Water, and again, just remember, for anybody that hears that, that's literally information that I was given, put together, and delivered. You even see in the video. The video is.
I didn't see it, but I'll believe it.
Paper. It's a literal brief that I'm given, informationally speaking, and that I'm given the permission to convey. That's all it is. That's all every TLS mission update ever is. It's a brief that I'm given on information of what's going on. I'm given the ability to put it out, and then I convey it accordingly. And every video has to get approved, and that's how the whole thing works. So Operation Water has to do with a specific extraterrestrial race known as, or from a planet known as Tzia, T-Z-I-A.
was because of that.
I want to preface with the fact that I've been speaking about this race and two other races already for the past, like, what, maybe 5 months already. And the first thing people always say is, if they were real, then why haven't we heard about them yet? And I have, because, you know, people always come and they attack and these
people say stupid shit.
So I have two answers to that. Number one, if I wanted a lie, I wouldn't come up with a name that we've never heard before. I'd be talking about the Palladians, the Greys, and all that, and everything in between. That's the normal thing somebody would do if they wanted to come up with something. The other thing that I would add to that is Sia, that race that I'm speaking of in regards to Operation Water, and Nashia, which is a different race that I've spoken about in the past, I think on your show as well once, are already spoken about in a document, in a sort of book written over 2,000 years ago known as the Zohar. It's also written in something called Psalms, P-S-A-L-M-S, by King David or whatever it is,
right,
over 2,000 years ago.
Wow.
And I even got the part where he's talking about the land of Tzia. And, of course, because of interpretations, and I'm going to bring this up for you right now, actually, but because of interpretations, people think that, no, they're just talking about a dry place on Earth. Now, Tzia, for anybody that doesn't know and hasn't heard me speak about it in the past, is a very dry planet. They have a problem with their water. They're beings of a very high level of awareness with incredible technology. And by the way, technology doesn't mean that they live in glass and metal buildings and have iPhones.
Oh, no! That means retardation and technological slavery, Jason Shirka. More on that later.
Technology, it means technology of a higher level of awareness, in many cases spiritual technology as well, which allows them to travel at such high speeds. Their planet is not in the Milky Way galaxy, so people always go, well, then why would they come all the way here for water? Now, we're under the impression that all the way here is a long distance, and it is a long distance, but for their level of awareness and technology, it does not take a long time to get here. They've been coming here for a very long time. They don't just get their water from Earth. they used to get their water from Earth on like a minor scale from places like Lake George in Australia that just disappears every so often. And they generally, their sort of main place where they get their water from are ice fields that are suspended in space. So that's where they would get it from. Now, only up until recently, they now have a technology that allows them to turn salt water into fresh water, which isn't anything new, by the way, because we could do that here as well. The technology not only turns salt water into fresh water, but it also condenses that salt water into fresh water simultaneously to allow them to bring, let's say, 100 million gallons condensed to 50,000 gallons, and they get the hell out of here and they fly with it. Operation Water is an operation that's now ongoing, where TLS is cooperating with the race from SEA, you can call them the people of SEA, to help them take water no longer from lakes, but from the ocean. So they're now taking actual salt water and they're bringing it back. What we're seeing in many times on those clips of those crafts going underwater and coming out of the water has to do with their form of technology called immersion technology, like to immerse yourself in water. Immersion technology, where they go in the water, they have some sort of technology, I don't know what it is, but it pretty much sucks in the water into, I guess, like a tank in their craft, while simultaneously converting it to fresh water and simultaneously condensing it into a very small sort of portion so they can hold it in their craft. Now, their crafts range anywhere from the size of, let's say, the size of one football field to the size of three football fields. In some cases, they're smaller. In some cases, they're bigger. So they usually come one craft at a time at night in the middle of the ocean. So generally, any of these videos that you see are from Navy ships somewhere in the middle of nowhere. It's not in your backyard, you know, in Miami somewhere. That's not how it goes. So,
well, they're more than welcome to come by here, buddy.
Yeah.
They do that at night to kind of avoid being seen when they're doing what they're doing, to not bring attention from the people that are under the impression that they're here to attack, because it can cause problems. They're not here to attack. Yeah. So once they bring that water, they then go back to their planet. Tetsuya, in Earth time, I've never been on a ship that takes you there. I know people that have. In Earth time, they say it takes the equivalent of about 25 to 30 minutes to get there. So it's not a big deal. Equivalent Earth time. Earth time is a big thing because time doesn't work the same way in these different places and that level of awareness. So just in our sort of comprehension, it's about 25 to 30 minutes to get there. So we think, oh, why would they come so far? It's like driving to the next town over. It's not a big deal.
Probably some kind of wormhole or something you're like, you know, going through or something.
So
now, what's interesting is I've been on Lake Tahoe when there was nobody out on Lake Tahoe in my kayak. I did like a round, paddled all the way around Lake Tahoe. And the whole time I was there, I was like, I think I'm going to see a UFO. And I've never really seen one other than like in a distance, you know. And I was like, so I'm paddling. I'm almost at the end. And then just out of the blue, I look up and there's like that. And it was like you described, like this several football fields long ship that was over Lake Tahoe. Lake Tahoe is very big. And I have talked to other people that talk about how somehow they're using either the water for, you know, propulsion, or they're getting the water like you're talking about. So that's interesting.
So they used to use something called vacuum technology, which does the same thing more or less that clouds do. The irony is when you tell people there's a ship that can suck up water without touching the water, they look at you sideways.
Yeah.
But when you tell people that there are these things that look like white fluffy cotton balls in the sky that suck up water, that have no wires, that don't work through electricity as we know it, even though they do have electricity when they rub against one another, that's called a cloud. You know, and nobody looks at you sideways when you say that there's this thing made out of God knows what in the sky of sucking up water vapor that's condensing and eventually rains, you know, but it's like, it's so funny because people don't think about it that way, but it's no different. You know, we think that technology has to be in the form of like an iPhone and a computer, and that's not true.
Absolutely.
The way the clouds work is a form of technology.
Better believe it.
The way crafts work is a form of technology. So
more on that later with Jason Sherka.
I was right all along.
doesn't thought also will affect me. No. Nothing can get in my way, though.
The whole wormhole thing, the depths of what I know so far in terms of how their crafts operate are through something called the power of thought. Pretty much allowing the craft to become an extension of the operator's consciousness. So it's you have to have a level of awareness that allows you to really connect to the unified field of consciousness that connects everything and anything always and forever in all time, because there is no time on that level of awareness as well, in terms of our understanding. But it's just so fascinating, because when I was sharing this specific brief with people. Generally, the TLS mission updates for the past six at least had to do with underground tunnels, children, adrenochrome, things like that. And this was the first one that had to do with cooperation with an extraterrestrial race. And I found that it's very difficult for people to comprehend or accept this idea that some of the main questions were, if they're so advanced, why do they need to come here for water? Or if they're so advanced, why don't they live in buildings like we do, right? Because on their planet, for anybody that's heard me speak about them in the past, on their planet, they live in the equivalent of what you would call like a wooden hut. Not dirty or anything, it's clean, it's nice, it's great, but it's a wooden hut. It's not with a TV, there's none of that there. They even walk barefoot everywhere, and they all wear more or less the same thing. It's a very simple way of living.
Sounds now, good to me.
When you tell somebody that these really advanced beings, in terms of what they can do, are walking barefoot, like wear clothes that look like a toga in the material of a potato sack, and live in wooden huts, most people can't accept that because
we're used to associating
everything I just said with being primitive. And the truth is what we call advanced in our world today is really spiritually primitive.
What we call advanced on this world today is really spiritually primitive. Better know that. That's Michael J. Jayco and Jason Shirka. Exclusive update on beings from planet Sia. TZIA.
They're connected to everything that's going on. They eat with their hands. They're vegans. They only have vegetables on their planets. They don't have animals. They don't have fruits. So it's like, I'm bringing that up in advance because I've seen people bring that topic up already. So it really comes down to the understanding that what we call advanced here is not necessarily advanced. It's in many cases, spiritually primitive. And we have to stop associating being barefoot or eating with your hands with being primal and not advanced at all. As a matter of fact, those people are some of the most connected people to that unified field of consciousness that there is in the first place. So that's something that I wanted to bring up. I found the translation here, by the way, and I want to read it to you. The direct translation, not the translation that a rabbi in Hebrew came and translated it in their interpretation. If you take, it's on page 238 of whatever book this is, but somebody sent me a Snapchat because I started getting pictures all over of, oh my God, did you know that they're in here? In the Zohar, in Psalms and all that. And I didn't, which was interesting. But here is the translation. In a place of old people, by the way, their average lifespan is about 360 years old, but because of their current water shortage, they now live till about 180 years old. So that gives you the context of what this translation is about to say. And they don't have fruits, they only have vegetables. In a place of old people, they will cheer for him being like God. He will put rivers in the desert so those who are thirsty can drink. He will bring fruits for whoever lives there. He will turn the desert into a river, and the land of Tzia will have water. There are people over there with needs, and this will be the place for them to be. They will plant fields and plant grapevines, and they will produce fruits. He will bless them, and they will continue to reproduce a lot. Those are just a few sentences from something that was written over 2,000 years ago about these extraterrestrial beings, but of course, we've interpreted it to being, no, it's just talking about Earth in the desert, and it's not. So. That's just some clarity on that one as well.
Interesting.
That is wild.
Interesting. So it kind of reminds me a little bit of the movie Dune, and they were living underground, and they had the worms that chased them around, stuff like that. But there's advanced civilizations out there, and we get little tidbits of information about them, like you're giving, and people, still are kind of superficial with it, dismiss it, but it's real, and it's. And I know you've been on Gaia and you've talked about some of the stuff. I've been on Gaia and talked about some of the stuff. It's going to be revealed, a lot of this information, going forward. So it's an awakening process. And like we talked about in the beginning, we have a military industrial complex that's trying to restrict it and control it. And it's basically our heritage, to learn and connect with, other species from galaxies, and
we've been doing it,
even our own galaxy, of course, but
all the time,
our own solar system, because there's all kinds of species, I believe, in
our
solar system. So
how do you
think they're going to what do you think they're going to reveal when they do reveal? Is going to be anything?
They're definitely going to reveal
shit about our solar system
evil, and they're here to kill us. They're already kind of doing that, by the way. They're like preparing us and priming us. What's his name? Lou Elizondo, who's been on the news many times
in regards to his disclosure,
because he was working in 2007 at the Pentagon's unit for, it's like AATIP, ATTIP, I forgot what it stands for. But he said, we're with Tucker Carlson on Fox News, they're pretty much saying, word for word, that there is a possibility for a threat to national security.
If there's any threat to national security, it's the people who are saying that there's a threat to national security. Because they're the ones who've been in league with the bad guys, but that is all gonna change.
That we're seeing crafts that can, and I quote, bring a nuclear warhead and drop it over the nation's capital in a matter of seconds. And it's like, did you really just go there? Is that... like, what are you talking about? Don't you think that, and for everybody that's already into this and has accepted that ET life is real and has been real for a very long time, if they've been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, if they were so evil, why haven't they done it yet?
Right.
Why haven't they, come and rule the land? They have the technology to enslave us. They could do it. Mm-hmm. They could do whatever the hell they want. Why aren't they doing it? And it makes you question, Are they evil or are they not? And then that gets into the whole reptilian agenda with, we've spoken about that in the past on where I stand with those things. I personally am not a believer of a reptilian race as we know it.
Not
I brought Dr.
One.
Lawrence Pilevsky on the Academy of Divine Knowledge recently, and he gave the best explanation that I've ever heard when it comes to reptilian life and
Yeah, but hey man, if one of them reptiles is standing in front of you, you're gonna believe that they're real, and they are not necessarily extraterrestrial. They have been here since a human race, so-called, been walking upright. So watch out!
Watch out! Watch out! Watch out.
Woodstock Institute of Fugues, Keith Richards, Jamboree.
I brought Dr. Lawrence Pilevsky on the Academy of Divine Knowledge recently, and he...
Well, isn't that great? By the way, I don't trust anybody with doctor before their name. Do you get that? Back to Jason Cherka.
Gave the best explanation that I've ever heard when it comes to reptilian life and reptilian consciousness, so-called. And he broke up the brain into three different portions. The frontal lobe, the mammalian something, and the hindbrain, which is the reptilian brain.
That was brilliant, yeah.
It was brilliant because he pretty much, without saying it, redefined the term reptilian as a whole by saying that a reptilian is not necessarily this being that comes from a different race that's a lizard that shapeshifts.
It's a human being who's
still operating through this portion of their brain. And therefore, because of the consciousness that they're in and the level of awareness that they're in, does very dark and evil things.
Right.
And that was like, when he, it was about a 16-minute portion, an hour and a half video. Mm-hmm. And you even see while he was saying it, I was in awe when he was talking. That's what I was looking for, you know? The reptilian race, as has been explained for the past three decades, It never sat with me. And if you ask TLS will also say there's no such thing as a reptilian race that is not human being. Now, I didn't know what that means. I just knew that that's where they stand. And I knew that even before that, it didn't resonate with me. So his explanation, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, everything's possible, but that resonated with me the most, because in his explanation, both the individual getting the thing and the individual making the thing are both
the thing he's referring to is a shot in the arm, and he's tapping his shoulder where one would get a shot, and they're not allowed to say that on YouTube.
Reptilian, in terms of their awareness, they're both acting out of fear. Only one is giving in to something, and the other one is making something to do harm. And it was like, you know, it's fascinating. I was like, damn, dude, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was brilliant. I thought
high
that was
five for that one.
Because
huh?
I've studied the brain like he's talking about, you know.
Me too. But the reptoids are still real too, though. But they're not called reptilians, and I'm not joking. By the way,
yeah, I teach a lot of information in my courses, but that was like the best presentation of it that I've ever seen myself.
Yeah.
If anyone's seen that, yeah, definitely go check that out.
You know, also in regards to the reptilian race agenda, they're not, I mean, anybody that really speaks about it, unless they're mixing other really controversial things in there that does mess with an agenda, they don't censor reptilian things. They censor these things, you know? They censor all that, because there's a real clear agenda there.
And when he said these things, once again, he's tapping his shoulder.
But, I mean, anytime somebody speaks about that, it's just kind of there. And I say it's the same thing as Flat Earth. Certain individuals aren't using discernment on certain things. They're believing certain things. There's a lot of misinformation on both sides. And that dark side will play it to their advantage if they can. To continue that confusion and deception. To allow people that really have good intentions.
To clarify, I have said many times on Space Plane, there is not a group of beings that when you meet them, they will say to you, "Hello, we are reptilians." That is correct. In that sense, Jason Cherka.
That are really seeking for the truth to not correct them. You know, let that be there. And let it confuse people. And all in all, I mean, even when it comes to extraterrestrial life, I'm all for the peaceful aspect of it. And I can tell you just by my experience over the past 5, 6, 7 months, I've been attacked many times by people even in the so-called awakening and spiritual community, because they're so sure, and it may be possible, it may be true, but it may not be. They're so sure that extraterrestrials have to be evil as well. And it's like, my question is always, which narrative is better to accept? Let's say we don't know for sure which
one
is true. Which
hey man, you're speculating like somebody who's never seen a bipedal snake man.
Which one is more productive? would be the question.
Yeah.
And I would say the peaceful one is probably more productive.
They're peaceful yeah. too, though.
You know, even if we're not sure. But I'm sure. I'm just speaking about what resonates with me.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. And you know, better late than never. Even though they've been, you know, suppressing us for a long time, I've been watching this TV series called Project Blue Book, it's something that came back in early 1950s, where the Air Force was trying to suppress this information. You know, people were having sightings, and they would come in and like explain it away. Oh, you saw an owl, and you know, those were like, you know, a bunch of seagulls at the same time. That's why it had that V shape, and the light was reflecting off of them, and so all of these different things. Even though people were having real experiences, like, you know, seeing them move around, you know, these beings and stuff. So it's a suppression thing, and that's like you're saying, it's a dark aspect of that. That's the forebrain that's suppressing that, and not someone that's in mid or forebrain. You know, because that's where you're conscious of all things, and you want to help, you're loving, and
right.
So there's no love in that hindbrain, and they want to suppress, and want to control, and want to create fear.
Oh man, I got it all under control, Michael Dico and Jason Shirka, man, and my mind is ruling my body, and my spirit and soul is ruling my mind. Space Plane!
Thank you. talking about.
We ain't gonna do that no either. You know I sure don't do. I'm the one you need.
Thank you.